I want to speak this morning on evangelism. That should be on all our hearts. That should be everything that we're on this earth to do, really. Of course, it's to love our Lord, our God, with all our heart. But I could say, well, what else are we here for? We're here to tell other people the good news of Jesus Christ. I said, we're here to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. It's like the girl who went to the horse, wasn't it? And she was patting this horse and she said, you must be a Christian horse because you've got such a long face. It's good news. It's absolutely tremendous news. That's why we always want to come before the Lord and praise his name. Evangelism, it's said on the Google, says this: spreading of the Christian gospel by public speaking and personal witness. Public speaking and personal witness. What are you like at personal witness? How are you doing? Are you doing well? Are you pleased with how you've, over the years, learned perhaps more and more how to deal in situations, how to just naturally share Jesus with people, not condemning them, but showing them love and compassion, but still opening your mouth to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ? Because that's what it is. And I just read from Luke 5, says this: the calling of the first disciples. But you know, Jesus is still calling us and others to be disciples. That's what it's about. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake in Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out your net in deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But this is it. But because you say so, and I'll say it again, but because you say so, Master, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught a large number of fish, that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch the fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus is still calling us today. Jesus is still wanting to come into our lives more and more to share the good news with other people. And because you say so, I'll let down the net. And let me say, if the Lord says so, it is so. If the Lord says so, it is so. Jesus began to share the gospel, repent, for the kingdom of God is near you. He began to preach to them and help them. And then Matthew 28 is when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, which is the last book in Matthew, and it says this, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples, well, you all know why it was 11, because Iscariot was the one who rebelled and went off and committed suicide. Even the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Don't be shy about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you're walking this earth for. You're here for others to know and see you as a Christian ambassador for Jesus. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we still haven't seen the gospel preached to the ends of the earth. We're getting there, but it's coming. But Christ wants us to be those who will help others know how to get there. What is your testimony? If you are a born-again Christian, you have a testimony. Could I call on anyone here today to say, you come out and give me a 2-minute testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you? That's when you're prepared and you know what you're doing, and you know if you were called to do that at an airport, on a train, or whatever it is, you would be able to share a 2-minute testimony. Or maybe a 10-minute testimony if there was time. But a 2-minute testimony is a really, really good thing. It says this too in Luke 10. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." And it does seem like that at times, doesn't it? You think that at times when you share the good news with people? It's almost as if you're sharing that with that post there. Boing! No emotion, nothing comes back to you. It's just completely, you think, they just seem dead. And they are, because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. When Jesus is your life and all that he needs to be in you, you will gladly share Jesus because it's what you're here for. These seats could all be filled in a month if we shared the gospel. No problem. Do I hear an amen or not?
Amen.
Yep, okay. Let me say, Luke 10, this is when Jesus sent out the 72. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, why did he see it? Do you know? He saw it because he said, I haven't only got to contend with Jesus, I've got to contend with every flaming Christian who is there and will open their mouths and bring the gospel in. So when the 72 came back, they were so excited about what they saw because of the power of God in them to bring other people to him. "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book in heaven." Woohoo! Is your name written in the book in heaven? Are you sure? 100%. Because it's not what you can do, it's what God has done for you. It is. So if the Lord says so, it is so. Hallelujah. And it is. Get your testimony sorted out. Hebrews 10 says this. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them." This is us. "After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where there has been forgiven, there no longer is any sacrifice for sin." That is such good news. Have you got friends? Have you got people that you would really, really love to share Jesus Christ with? I've got nine good pals who are not Christians. And I'm praying for them. I'm really praying for them. Why? Because I love them and I don't want any one of them to be separated from their Lord and their God. He's not yet, but that's what I'm wanting to do. And I'm saying, and I want to share this with you, if you're not in a life group, I suggest you get in one. Because when you can meet another time in the week, you help one another, You pray with one another. You do these things. And this is one thing that Neat and I used to do a long time ago. When we were in life groups, we used to have three people that each member would be praying for who were non-Christians. So if it was me, I'd be praying for three, but the other people's three as well. So you'd probably, if there were seven in a group, you'd be praying for 21 people to come to Christ. And you'd be amazed over the months when there was an event held or whatever, those people would be much more readily come to a meeting, I don't say in church, but somewhere where they could hear the gospel than they would have been if you hadn't been praying. Prayer changes things. People's hearts become much more pliable and understanding. And I want us to do that, really. I'd love us to do that in groups again. If you're not in a group, get with another person. Get with three of you together and pray during the week together for those people you love and who yet do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to just give you a couple or three times that Neat and I have had the privilege of sharing the gospel with people over the years and being able to lead loads of them to Christ. We used to produce Life News, and you might have heard this before, some of you, but I don't mind. This is well worth sharing. We're on holiday, and there was Billy and Anne, farmers in Norfolk. We gave them a Life News and shared Christ with them, and got on well with them. And when we got home, he wrote to us, and he said, "I've read through Life News, and I've got 17 questions I want to ask you." He was 82. He had been to church since he was 1 week old, every week, unless he was away. And he said, "Terry, I've never read things like this. I have never in my life been challenged that Jesus Christ and I have to make a prayer of commitment and live my life. I've never seen it before." And so he said, "Would you come up and share with us?" So we did. And then about a week later, he said, "I've said the prayer. It's all it takes. I've said the prayer. I've been going to church for 82 years and my heart has just woken up to the fact that I never ever knew I'd got to say a prayer and repent of my sin." Lovely guy, lost his wife, but she went to the Lord also. I can remember, sounds if I say this when we're all on holiday, but people do seem to be open when you're on holiday. I can remember we were on the beach. And Nita shared with this lady, she was a lovely lady and her husband. They lived in Knightsbridge, just opposite Harrods. So they must have had a fair bit of loot if they were buying a house or they'd bought a house up there. Anyway, she'd had a double mastectomy. And so Neat was sharing with her about Christ. And she said, "How can I know more about this?" Neat said, "Go on our website." So she went on the website and she shouted across the beach, she said, "I'm listening to your talks. I've got the talks on." He said, "It's really lovely." And so we got chatting with them. She said, "Look, how do I know more? We're going home tomorrow. How can I know more?" We said, "Holy Trinity Brompton is only just across the road. Go there and get on an Alpha course." And that's what they did. I don't know what happened to them. We never kept in touch. But I don't know. But they're the things that you need to know. I saw a guy once when we were at the airport and he was kneeling down and he was upset. So I just went across to him and I said, "Are you Christian?" He said, "No." I said, "I thought I saw you in prayer." He said, "I did." He said, "I've missed my flight. And I'm so concerned about it because I was meeting someone the other end." I said, "You're not a Christian?" He said, "No." I said, "Look, just let me just unzip my bag," which I did. I said, "I've got a book here by Billy Graham. You're not a Christian, but you read this." And so off he went to catch his flight. Do I know what happened to him? No, but I know the word of God is living and active, and I know if you do these things, you might not know now, but you will know one day. You will know one day. I can remember in Austria, there was this couple, and I could see them every day doing all these bits and pieces, exercising as it was. And I said to them, "You're keeping fit or what?" They said, "Oh, no, no, no." They said, "We're actually thinking of becoming Buddhists." And I said, "Oh, no, what do you want to do that for? What's the point in you know, worshipping someone who died of dysentery? That's just ridiculous." So anyway, I said to them, So you're looking for something, but you can't find it. But they said, no. I said, this is the only Christian book I've got with me. So I said to them, look, let me give you this book. It was The Fourth Dimension by Yonggi Chao. He has a church of 1 million people. So I gave them this book. Do I know what happened? But I know one thing. If they read that book, they would be changed from looking for Buddha to looking for the real thing. Why am I saying these things? Because I really do want you to know how God works in so many incredible ways. I'm going to just get up here a minute to tell you something. When we were doing this and we had this built, this baptistry in here, there was a carpet fitter and he was fitting the tiles here. And I said to him, I said, you Christian? He said, no, I don't want that stuff. So I said to him, I've got a CD that I'd like you to listen to. Where do you live? He said, Helstead. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this CD and you've got your van there. Put it in and play it on the way home. So he came back after the weekend. This was probably a Friday. He came out on the Monday and I said to him, did you listen to the CD? He said, no, I didn't listen to that stuff. It's not for me. He said, but funnily enough, I was in the garden. He said, and I was chatting to my neighbour. And he was saying, he said, this bloke has given me this CD about Christianity. So the guy said next to him, I wouldn't mind borrowing that. He said, do you know what? He came back to me and said, I've become a Christian. Not this guy, his neighbour. Come on. God works in mysterious ways and he does things that, look, please, let me just help us in this. We do need to pray for one another. I've got some things here like this good news. Get it, it's down the table, read it, and put it through your neighbour's door or something, and just put on it, praying for you, or just whatever, or nothing, just put it through the door. Just do those things, it's bringing the gospel out. When Nita and I go away, or hotels, or books, or whatever, you know, we put stuff in all the books, we put stuff in all the magazines laying about, all those things. We put the gospel everywhere. We can't speak to all those people, but those we can, we do, and those we can't, we leave. When there's a library at a place, I get stuff and put in loads of the books. I'm not looking for a book. Most of them are rubbish. I'm looking to put something in so that people can say, wow, Jesus Christ, what does this mean? What I'm trying to help us with is to be there to enable us to do things we know. Like this St. John's Gospel. That's the best gospel you can have to give people to understand the love and the fellowship of Jesus. Many people come to Christ because of the word for today. Lots of people read this and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Saviour. Nita and I, you know, many of you, we're really, really involved with J. John. And so we do see hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ. We really do. And he's written two of these books, Natural Evangelism, The Practice of Praying, Caring and Sharing, and The Evangelism Course. Now, I can tell you, if you know someone or want to know yourself, perhaps life group or whatever, use one of these books, go through it, share together ways in which you can help other people come to Christ. This would be good if we did it as a church, this natural evangelism course. We could really do this and share together. You could do this in life groups. You could do this in church. We need to know why we're, as we are with all these seats spare, it's because we are not gossiping the gospel. It really, really is. I could tell you loads and loads of other things that we've come across over the years. Just amazing things. So why don't we today make a time to write down those people who we love dearly. And it could be just you. No one can fill your socks on this. It could be just you who can tell someone, and that can mean the difference between eternal life or eternally separated from our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a testimony, you have a way in which you know we should be sharing with others. So take time to listen to God. It's so important. Tonight we will have a prayer meeting, and I can tell you the first part, for at least maybe quarter of an hour or 20 minutes, we'll be just there waiting upon him, waiting upon him to hear him. Very often in a prayer meeting, you might be there for a couple of minutes and there's silence. And someone thinks, oh, I better fill this. No, let God fill it. Let God fill it. Let you understand. Come tonight for prayer. The nub of any church should be the prayer of the church. That's the hub of a church. So pray for your loved ones. Pray for your friends. Pray for your work colleagues. Will you be the best thing since sliced bread? No, no, no. I was only thinking this morning of the friends we've lost because we shared Jesus with them in love and compassion and kindness. I can't tell you how you're a stench, and I've said it before, to so many people who do not know Jesus. But take my word for it, it's better to be a stench than have told them than them not know. They make the decision. James 5:16 says this, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Ephesians 3:12 says, pray with boldness and confidence, as does Hebrews 4:16. Says this, come to the throne of grace with confidence and boldness. You know when you're praying for people to be saved, you're in line with everything lining up with the word of God. And that's what he loves more than anything. To see people rebirthed with his son by the Holy Spirit. Christ on the cross for the world. Look at the world out there. Look at what's going on in the world. Do people need Christ? They need him more than they've ever done in their whole lives. I can tell you, if you look at mankind, it's almost as if we're nosediving into a complete chaos worldwide. No, the answer, and the only answer, is Jesus Christ. It really, really is. I just got this from a book. It says here, the Bible is like fire in so many ways when it is allowed to work inside our hearts. For example, as fire purifies metal, God's words purifies our consciences, renews our minds, illuminates our spirits, and drives away darkness. Its light exposes area in our lives that need to be changed. Have you got any areas in your life that need to be changed? I need to get there and know my Lord Jesus Christ more and more and more. Having a deeper love and a deeper knowledge of him. I don't know if I've got time. It's nearly 12, but can I just share a scripture with you? It's in 2 Kings. And I won't go through it all, but I just share this with you. The place where they were in was being seized, and so a siege going on. And so they surrendered the place and knowing that they would starve to death. And so the Christian, well, they weren't Christians then, were they? The Jewish people were in there. And there were armies all around them. And so what they did, they got all around them and just left them there. So they knew they'd run out of water, they'd run out of food, etc., etc. And it got desperately, desperately difficult. And they came and I asked the king, as the king of Israel was passing on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, Lord the king. I'm not going to go through this because it's pretty gory, but now. Elisha, the prophet, he was sitting in his house and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a messenger ahead and he said to Elisha said to the elders, don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? This is Elisha. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's footsteps behind me? While he was still talking to them, the messenger came to him. The king said, this disaster from the Lord, why should I wait any longer? What he was thinking, the king was thinking, because Elisha was saying all these things, the king was absolutely against him. Elisha replied, from the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seas of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat any of it. And I'm going to paraphrase this because it goes on a bit. And there were four lepers. And they cast these lepers from the Jews out where all the armies were. And they sat out and talked to themselves and said, we're no good in there because we've got leprosy and they don't want us. We're no good to the people, the armies outside us. And so they said, let's go. If we die or we live, we'll go. And do you know what? When they went, there was no armies in the tents there whatsoever. The Lord during the night had scattered them all and they'd completely gone away. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. And this is what they said. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and looked, took some things from it and hid it also. Then they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. This is the day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. We will wait until daylight. Punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeeper people. And they went into the Armenian camp, and no one was there. Not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys. The gatekeepers shouted the news which were reported, and they went out. And the rest of the people then came and picked up hordes of stuff which were in the tents because there was no one there. It was because these lepers told these people the good news. God had been there before them and they said, let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's go, although they've cast us out. Let us not stop telling the good news. And how it ended was like this. So it was that you could buy the food that they wanted at the city gate for exactly what Elisha had said. And the person who was hanging on the arm of the king, he got killed in the rush to get the food. And as Elisha had said, but you will not share any of it. And he didn't. If we will pray and if we will listen to God, he will direct our steps. It's the same God who speaks to the people in the Old Testament and the New. The good news is we have a God who lives in us. His name is the Holy Spirit. And we need to rely on him more and more. If we will pray and seek his face, and we will come and bring non-Christians before him, and we will have a heart, and they weep sometimes. You know, we sometimes do need to weep before the Lord. We really do. If you really, really understood that your friends, your loved ones, are not going to be with you for eternity. I can never, ever, ever understand this. And I don't care if I say it every time I come up here. God gives us the choice. Mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, grandparents, grandchildren. He says, why don't you come to me and you can have eternity with your parents, your all these people? Come. Why don't you come? And you know, lots of people, they cannot be bothered. I cannot believe that a person who has a child would really want to be separated with them for eternity. So, are you this week, this is what I want to share, are you this week going to share the gospel better than we have done before? Is it going to be something in your heart that you want to pray about and think, yeah, I really do want my friends to come and know Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord? That's what I've been trying to get across this morning. Whether we do it through evangelism courses, whether we do it prayer, whether we do it by giving things out to people, whatever it may do be, let us use every opportunity that we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And let's see every chair in this place filled and we get them all out into this place. May God be with you. May you share. May you not crumble or think, no, I can't do it. God doesn't expect you to. He does it through you. He does it through you and me. So let's share Christ together wherever we can. God bless you.